Good morning. I'm turning to John chapter 1. I would encourage you to do the same. We'll begin this morning in John chapter 1. I can't tell you how happy I am to be here today. We had a great work in India. I was ready to come home. And when it's time to come home, it's time to come home. And I would like to say to you this morning that part of the reason why I was ready to come home is because I was getting such great reports about our classes and the sermons that were preached in my absence and the excitement that my family was sharing and the work that was going on here. And so while I enjoyed the work that we did in India very, very much, and while I believe that there is great work that has been done there, that is being done there, that will be done there, I believe that there is great work to be done here that has been done and that we will do together. So I will have more to say about the work in India in the future. We'll look at some pictures and we'll talk about what we did and what's going on there. But I would like to say on behalf of the three men that we support that I did have the opportunity to meet and spend a considerable amount of time with Gopal Das, Ebenezer, and KP. On behalf of those men, I want you to know that they send their love and appreciation and their thanksgiving. And I am very happy to say to you that those men are worthy of our support. And I can't wait to tell you more about them personally, the work they do, their families. But they are very appreciative of what we do for them that enables them to do the work of the Lord. And you'll be encouraged by the things that I have to say about them and their work. So when we do talk about the work in India, I hope that you will plan to be here for that. This morning, instead of talking about the work in India, we're going to talk about the person and the work of Jesus Christ, which is the work, which is the story. What a great song to sing before we think about the Christ of God. This is really an introductory lesson to our daily Bible reading and the classes that we are participating in together as a result of our reading. And I know we're a month into it now. We have read the book of Genesis and now we were in the book of Exodus. But I do want us to have this lesson in our minds as we read through God's Word together this year, the Christ of God. And so we begin in John chapter 1, verse 35, when John is standing with two of his disciples, and he looks at Jesus as Jesus is walking, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated, the Christ. As we think about what the Word of God is about, we have been encouraging ourselves to think about the fact that Jesus would have us to understand in Luke 24, verse 44, that the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms, the totality of God's Word is about Him. "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." So whether we're reading Genesis or Exodus or the Psalms or the minor prophets as we refer to them, every book of the Bible is a progressive revelation of the person of Christ and His work of redeeming love. The inseparable relationship of both Old and New Testaments centers in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. So in John, the first chapter, And in verse 41, when we read these words, Messiah and Christ, what we're reading are words that literally mean anointed. So the word Messiah is the Hebrew word for anointed. The word Christ is the Greek word for anointed. And it's imperative that we understand what that term means and how it was used and how it finds its fulfillment in the person and the work of Jesus. So, as we think about these things this morning, we just want to encourage ourselves as we read to see God working out His eternal purpose that centers around the person and the work of Jesus in time as He develops these three themes of prophet, priest, and king. In the Old Testament, God chose and commissioned someone to a divine work by ceremonially anointing or pouring olive oil on him. There are a number of passages that we might refer to, but I want to draw your attention to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 16, because in this single verse, we see both a prophet and a king being anointed. So in 1 Kings chapter 19 and in verse 16, God gives the instruction to Elijah to anoint Jehu as king over Israel and to anoint Elisha as prophet in his place. So in 1 Kings chapter 19 verse 16, we have Elijah anointing a prophet and a king. In Exodus chapter 29 and in verse 7, we have a verse that communicates that the priests were to be anointed. Exodus chapter 29, verse 7. And you shall take the anointing oil, pour it on his head, and anoint him. So in John chapter 1 and in verse 41, after John the Baptist has done his work and as Jesus has begun his ministry, we see that Simon is found and he is told by his brother, "We have found the Messiah. We have found the Christ. We have found the Lord's anointed." So as we read through Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and through the history and through the wisdom literature and the prophets, what we are going to see is that Jehovah God is going to prophesy concerning His anointed, concerning His Messiah, concerning His Christ. And what we're going to see throughout the Old Testament is that in the Old Testament, the Lord's anointed is concealed. And so that takes us back to the first point that we made about how God is progressively revealing Himself, His will, and His anointed to us in His Word. In the Old Testament, the Christ is anticipated. He is contained, if you will. He is promised, and He is pictured and predicted in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, the Christ of God is revealed. He is acknowledged. He is explained and proclaimed. He not only is pictured in the Word of God, but He is the very Word of God in the flesh. He is present among the people of God. And the one who is predicted in the Old Testament is fulfilled in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. Look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, let's begin reading in verse 18. Who is this Jesus? The son of Joseph, a carpenter, the son of Mary. This Jesus of Nazareth, this obscure village. Who is this Jesus? In Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 18, it happened as he was alone praying, that his disciples joined him, and he asked them, saying, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" So they answered and said, "John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets has risen again." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered and said, "The Christ of God." How did Peter come to the conclusion that this Jesus of Nazareth was indeed the Christ of God? Well, all of his life, his mom and dad and his grandparents and those in his spiritual family had exposed him to the writings of Moses. They had exposed him to the writings of the historians and the wisdom literature and the prophets. And Peter was familiar with Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. He was familiar with God's plan and how He had spoken concerning a Messiah, a Christ, a anointed one who would simultaneously serve the true and living God as a prophet, a priest, and a king. And in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, Peter came to understand that he was indeed, in truth, the anointed of God, the Messiah, the Christ. And as we read the same books that Peter read, what we are going to see Genesis through Malachi do is point us to the person and to the work of the Christ of God. And we are going to see its fulfillment in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. And our response to Him, to His question, "Who do you say that I am?" is going to be identical to that of Peter's. "You are the Christ of God." As we read together, we're going to see this great theme played out. Let's turn to Acts chapter 3 and consider the language in verses 23 through 26 concerning the fulfillment of the Lord's anointed as it pertains to the office of being a prophet. The Christ of God would serve, He would be anointed for the purpose of being a spokesman for God. In His work as the prophet, the Lord's anointed would speak for God. In Acts the 3rd chapter, beginning in verse 22, "For Moses truly said to the fathers..." In a few weeks we will read from Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 and following. "For Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham," going all the way back to Genesis the 12th chapter and in verse 3, "and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed." The Lord's anointed would be the seed of woman. He would be the seed of Seth, of Shem, of Noah, of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, of Judah, of David, and this son of Abraham who would be a blessing to all the families of the earth, going back to Deuteronomy 18, Acts chapter 3, verse 22, he would be the prophet. Verse 26, "To you first, God having raised up His servant Jesus, sent Him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities." How did he go about doing that? By preaching the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. And what was the first thing that John taught? What was the first thing that Jesus taught? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Who is this Jesus? He is the Lord's anointed. He was anointed as a prophet to be a spokesman for God. And when we read these prophecies concerning the person of the prophet of God, we can be assured that they are fulfilled in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. Not only was Jesus anointed to be the prophet of God, but he has also been anointed by God to be our high priest for the purpose of bringing us to God. In Hebrews, the second chapter, and in verse 17, we have language that speaks to us concerning the purpose of God anointing a priest, and specifically the fulfillment of the high priesthood of Jesus. Acts 2, verse 17. Who is this Jesus? Well, this Jesus, verse 16, is of the seed of Abraham. And he, in all things, had to be made like his brethren, verse 17, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. As we've now read the first 12 chapters of Exodus, as we get into chapters 13 through 40 and into the book of Leviticus, what we're going to see is that God spoke concerning the business of the priesthood and the sacrificial system. And what we're going to ultimately understand is that everything that pertained to the Levitical priesthood and that sacrificial system was a type and a shadow that was pointing us to the work of the Lord's anointed, to the person and the work of Jesus. Who is this high priest, this Jesus of Nazareth? He is the one who sacrificed himself. He is the one who satisfies the wrath of God. He is the one who offers access to God himself. And he is the one, Hebrews 7:25, who ever lives to make intercession for the people of God. What does the Lord's anointed ultimately do as the high priest? He brings us to God. Who is this Jesus? With Peter, we say he is the Christ of God. Well, what does that mean? It means that we understand that he has been anointed by God himself for a specific work. He was anointed to be the prophet to speak for God. He was anointed to be our high priest to bring us to God. But number three, he was appointed to be a king. He was anointed by God to rule by God. Look at John the 18th chapter and consider this exchange between Jesus and Pilate. And Pilate says to Jesus in John the 18th chapter, verse 37, "Are you a king? Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered Pilate and said, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Notice how Jesus says, "For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world." In eternity, the Word, John 1:1 through 14, was chosen by God the Father to save those created in God's image from their sins. Why did the Word become flesh and dwelt among us, according to Jesus in John 18:37, because He is the fulfillment of God's will for His people to have a king. He came to be what we need. We need someone to rule us and to direct us and to help us to make our journey from earth to heaven. You say rightly that I am a king. For this reason I came, for this reason I was born into the world. Who is this Jesus? He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. From 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter, when the people say, we want a king, what Jehovah God was trying to help them to understand is that they had a king, an eternal king. And so in the person of Jesus, we have Emmanuel, God with us, the King of Kings. Who is this Jesus? He is the Christ of God. What we are going to see as we read the Old Testament is that we need someone to speak for God to us. We need someone to bring us to God. We need someone to rule us, to help us on our way. But I want you to see with me this morning as we turn to Luke, the second chapter, and we consider verse 11, that above all else what we need, the Lord's anointed is. In Luke, the second chapter, and in verse 11, the angel of the Lord is standing before the shepherds who are in the country as Jesus is being born in Bethlehem. And the glory of the Lord shines around them, and they're greatly afraid. And the angel says to them in verse 10, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David what you most desperately need. What you need above all else. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. And who is this Savior? He is Christ. He is Messiah. He is the Anointed. He is the Lord. Why do we serve this Jesus? Because in the Old Testament, God chose and commissioned people to divine work by ceremonially anointing them with olive oil. Prophets and priests and kings. And throughout all of those writings, He concealed and anticipated and contained and promised and pictured and predicted. But when we come to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what we see in the person of Jesus is that the Lord's anointed has been revealed. He is acknowledged. He is explained and proclaimed. He is present in the flesh. The fulfillment of all that we read from Genesis to Malachi is in the person of Christ Jesus the Lord. And therefore, we serve Him and we honor Him. We discipline ourselves to be like Him. And above all else, we love Him because He didn't just come to tell us what we need to know. He didn't just come to bring us to God. He didn't just come to rule us. He came to save us. And that's what the invitation of Jesus Christ is all about. As we think about that this morning, and as you think about your relationship to Jesus and how you answered the question, who is this Jesus and what your relationship is to Him, I encourage you to think about something very special. As we think about the plan of salvation and our response to the person and the work of Jesus. In 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, and in verse 13, we see that David, the man after God's own heart, was not only anointed with oil to serve as the king of God's people on earth, but he was also anointed with the Holy Spirit. When we look at the person and the work of Jesus, what we come to find out in Luke, the third chapter, in verses 21 and 22, is that Jesus of Nazareth is a son of David. One of the interesting things that we're going to see as we read the Gospels is that nowhere is Jesus of Nazareth anointed with oil to serve as the prophet, as the priest, as the king of Jehovah God. Instead, what we see, Luke chapter 3, verse 21, beginning,
that when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that while Jesus was baptized, that while he prayed, the heaven was open. And verse 22 tells us that the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Notice there the connection between Jesus' baptism and water and the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 4, verse 14. When Jesus came back from the 40 days of temptation in the wilderness, we read that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And news of him went out through all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, Isaiah 61, beginning in verse 1. So in Isaiah 61, beginning in verse 1, we have a prophecy concerning the Messiah. We have a prophecy concerning the Christ. We have a prophecy concerning the Lord's anointed, who would serve as prophet, priest, and king. Jesus turns to Isaiah 61, verse 1, and he reads these words: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And when he had closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and all the eyes of those who were in the synagogue were fixed on them, he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Who is this Jesus? He is the Lord's anointed. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. And unlike all those types and shadows who were anointed with oil, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that have to do to our salvation? Or have to do with our salvation? You know the passages. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. How do we enter into the kingdom of God? How do we accept the work of our high priest in bringing us to God? How do we accept His rule as King in our lives and enter into His realm? John chapter 3, beginning in verse 3, Jesus said that we must be born again of the water and the Spirit. In Acts the second chapter and in verse 38, those on the day of Pentecost who heard the Word of God and had good and honest hearts and said to themselves, "We believe that this Jesus is indeed both Lord and Christ. Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Repent, which is the first word out of John's mouth. It's the first word out of Jesus' mouth. It's the first word out of Peter's mouth as it pertains to what we must do to be saved. We must repent of the sins that we have committed against the true and the living God. Who is this Jesus? He is the one who brings us to God. After we repent of our sins, we are baptized into Christ for the remission of them, and then we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 13, the Corinthians needed to understand, for the sake of unity and for the sake of love among one another, that they had been saved by the blood of the Lamb and that by one Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 13, they were baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. Who is this Jesus? He was not anointed, my beloved brethren, with the common oil that was used
to anoint the prophets and the priests and the kings who were foreshadowing him. He was anointed with the person of the Holy Spirit. And when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are born of the water and the Spirit. We enter into this special relationship with our God and Father who is in heaven, who in eternity devised this great plan that in time He spoke to us, He has brought us, He is ruling us. Above all else, He is saving us. Have you responded to the person and the work of Jesus? If not this morning, we would encourage you to believe that all of that was leading up to this man and to the work that he did at Calvary. And in the words of the prophets and of John and of Jesus and of Peter, we would encourage you to think about how you've sinned against this God who loves you so much that He put together this great plan to save you. And we would encourage you, as they were encouraged every step of the way, to repent of your sins. Be baptized into Christ for the remission of them. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Live your life in Christ Jesus. For there is coming a day in which all that we see now revealed by faith, we will see by sight. When Jesus comes again in all of His glory to take those of us who have made the good confession, the Christ of God, to be home. Is that the hope that you have this morning? If not, we have this invitation where we sing this song. We give you the opportunity at this time to come to the front. We have a baptistry behind us full of warm water. You can be baptized into Christ this morning for the remission of your sins, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you can join in this memorial feast with us that He's given us, where we remember the body, where we remember the blood, where we remember the work that He did for us as our prophet, our priest, and our king, and above all else, our Savior. If you are a child of God, but you've lost sight of what God has done for you in the Christ of God, then we would encourage you this morning to repent of that and to really get into God's Word this year and to see how awesome and majestic and glorious He is. And what He has done for us in the person and the work of Jesus, and then give your life to Him as you have been given days by the Creator and the Maker of all things. While we stand and while we sing, we encourage you to come to Him.